Movie film rolls. A sprocket at the edge becomes the letter I in IFC Films. Specks of light populate. The lights form into words. Memento Films. Blue lines form the word parallel in Parallel Films. Two white words appear with an orange underscore in between them. Microscope. Daytime. A high-rise. Memento Films International and Mongrel Media present a Microscope production with Parallel Films, based on the book My Salinger Year by Joanna Rakoff. Inside, a young brunette woman stands in front of a stained glass window.
I grew up in a quiet suburban town just north of New York. On special occasions, my dad would take me into the city and we would go and get dessert at the Waldorf or the Plaza. I loved watching the people around us. They seemed to have interesting lives. I wanted to be one of them. I wanted to write novels and speak five languages and travel. I didn't want to be ordinary. I wanted to be extraordinary.
On a sidewalk, the woman wheels a suitcase behind her.
Those memories came storming back to me last year when I came to visit my best friend in New York. I was only supposed to stay a few days and then return to Berkeley, where my boyfriend was waiting on me.
She smiles.
But something shifted. I want to stay in New York for a while.
A while? What do you mean a while? What about your semester?
Yeah, but see, that's just it. I don't want to analyze other people's work anymore, Carl. I want to write.
In New York?
Yeah. In New York. Isn't that what aspiring writers did? You know, live in cheap apartments and write in cafes? Yeah, I know. But it's what I wanted.
Words appear. My Salinger Year. In a twin bed, the woman sleeps. New York, fall 1995. She raises onto her forearm. She looks at the divider next to her bed. She falls back onto her pillow. A young man in boxers irons a shirt on a kitchen table. In the kitchen, a woman walks in.
My boss says we're going paperless. All emails. It's driving me nuts with everyone writing about nothing. Answering, thanks, or worse, you're welcome. My colleague sends me emails to ask me when I'm having lunch. I hope this is just a trend that will phase out.
I miss your rants. Everyone in Berkeley is so serious and into jogging and wearing Tevas.
Fucking Tevas.
I'm like this big cloud of East Coast irony haunting Southern California.
Mm, turning everything into ash.
That's me. Mm.
Does Carl feel the same?
It's not really the same for him because he's been there for a couple years and the university sort of treats him like a star.
Well,
hey, Jenny, I don't know exactly how long I'm going to be staying in New York.
Don't worry, just keep making yourself at home. Eat anything.
The brunette, Joanna, hops off the counter.
Okay.
She slides a magnet off of a card on the fridge. Eaton Recruiting. In an office.
M.A. in English Literature, University College in London. I suppose that would make you more appealing to some publishers, less to most. You published poetry.
Yes, in the Paris Review. I just won their student contest.
Leave that out. Publishers avoid wannabe writers.
that is what I want to do, though. Eventually.
Oh, I got it. Not a publisher. How about a literary agency?
Great.
The oldest in New York. Do you type?
You took typing in 7th grade.
Of course you don't type. She's going to ask you if you can type, and you were going to say... Yes.
At an agency,
60 words a minute.
A woman stands with her back to Joanna. She looks out the window as she smokes.
But do you type on a typewriter? It's very different from typing on one of those computers.
Yes.
What do you like to read?
A bald man wearing a boldly patterned scarf reads a magazine.
Everything. Laurie, Hammett, Donald Westlake. Mm. I just finished a sentimental education, and mm-hmm. I loved it. It was so contemporary, I was amazed.
Gustave Flaubert, oui, c'est très bien, ma chère, but to be in this field, you'll need to read authors who are alive.
Mm. I love Flaubert.
I like Westlake. He's funny.
Joanna presses her lips together.
I guess you can start after Christmas. We'll talk about Jerry then.
Jerry.
I'm sure you've heard that he's crazy, or senile, or a misanthrope. All lies. He's not the problem. It's these people who relentlessly call for his address, his phone number, asking to be put in touch with him, or even with me. Reporters, students, university deans, producers. They can be persuasive, manipulative, but you must never, ever give out his address. Do you understand?
I understand.
Good. Remember, there's no shortage of college graduates who want this job. Be prepared for long hours. Pam will give you a key.
Pam, okay. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how honored and thrilled I am.
No need to be honored. Thrilled, maybe. Margaret is pretty thrilling. I'm Daniel, by the way.
Joanna smiles to herself as she exits. J.D. Salinger's books, including Catcher in the Rye, line a bookshelf.
That Jerry.
Joanna looks at a portrait with a plaque with J.D. Salinger's name engraved on it.
I didn't know yet what a literary agency was, but felt like I'd stepped closer to the world of writers. I was to be surrounded by godlike literary names. No doubt their proximity would inspire my own writing.
Joanna walks into a room. At a desk, an old man looks at her.
Well, congratulations on your new job. Here is your key. Do not lose it. We will expect you at 8 a.m. sharp, January 8th.
Joanna smiles. On a sidewalk.
I never went back to Berkeley. New York was to be my new home, writing my new life with a coveted job to pay the rent.
Hi.
Hey. Come join us.
Hi.
Hi.
Everyone, this is Joanna.
Joanna.
And this is Mark, this is Lisa. They just got engaged, so
we're
celebrating.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Congratulations.
It's fake. Sit down. It is.
The office is incredible. It's like nothing's changed since 1927. And guess who my boss represents?
And Rice?
The Pope, Thomas Pynchon.
J.D. Salinger.
No way!
He's still alive?
Yeah, he is. He lives up in New Hampshire, in basically total isolation. Reporters are always trying to ambush him in the local diner, or try to sneak onto his property.
I love Catcher in the Rye, but Franny and Zoe is my favorite.
My friend Kat used to work at his publishers. And one night she was working late, like 1 a.m. late. And the phone rings in the office, and keeps ringing. So she picks it up, and she heard someone screaming.
The manuscript is okay! I saved the manuscript from the fire!
Salinger?
His house had burned down, and he called in the middle of the night, assuming someone would be at the office. Mm. Isn't that crazy?
I read that he's still writing, but that he doesn't want to publish.
Writing makes you a writer, not publishing. Publishing is commerce.
This is such a crock of shit, Don. This is some preemptive strike argument in case he never sells a novel, if you ever finish writing.
I will, but today is about Joanna and her crossing to the dark side with the book merchants. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks. I had met Don days earlier in a socialist bookstore where he worked part-time.
I haven't seen you around here before. Let me guess, you're intern at the New Yorker.
Besides fighting materialism and raising class awareness, Don was into boxing, Norman Mailer, and...
Yeah, I'm writing a novel.
He was straightforward about being a writer. I admired his confidence.
Do you know the Panama Cafe? It's on Avenue A. It's kind of like a writer's hangout.
I do, actually. Yeah, they have poetry.
Poetry reading.
Love is the one who's hard to find. Love's the one who knows your mind. Love's the one who feeds your soul. Love's the one to have and hold. But hold a minute, hold how? There's 100 hungry ways to hold her up or hold her down. Will she still be able to get around? Will she be able to hold her breath?
Don places his hands on top of Joanna's. They interlink fingers.
Where the hell were you? Cut the goddamn grass today, or else I'm selling your K car, you hear?
A teenage boy walks past a man into a house. In a bedroom, he pulls out a typewriter. He sets it up. He sits on his bed, typing with a cigarette in his mouth.
Dear Mr. Salinger, I read your book, The Catcher in the Rye, 3 times now. It's a masterpiece, and I hope you're proud of it. I mean, you certainly should be. Most of the crap that's written today is so uncompelling, it makes me sick. I mean, not too many people write anything that even approaches sincerity. And I don't mean to say that everyone who reads your book gets it. Not at all. Lots of people don't. I mean, I can give you plenty of idiotic examples, but I won't. Hell, you might be laughing out loud right now at the thought, but I think I get it. Maybe I don't.
At the agency, Joanna smiles slightly as she finishes reading the letter. Her boss approaches.
Oh.
Joanna stands. Her boss smokes as she passes by her. Joanna looks around. She sits. She slides a letter back inside a green envelope. She spins a letter opener.
Well, you're here.
I am.
We know you can type. Hooray. But have you ever used a dictaphone?
She stands.
At ease.
She sits.
It can be tricky at first, but I'm sure you'll get the hang of it.
Her boss uncovers it.
Play, rewind, and I think those control speed. Hugh can help.
Hugh,
you can get started with these.
She dumps a box of microcassettes.
This is our technological area. It is all very new. This is a Xerox machine you'll use to make copies of my correspondence. I believe that is the button you press to make a copy.
Did she give you her speech about the evils of the digital age yet?
Max, this is Joanna, my new assistant.
Hello, Joanna. Nice to meet you.
So there are no computers?
We choose not to use computers. I've seen them in action. They just make more work for everyone, wasting time.
Max winks at Joanna.
All right. As you can see, we have a relaxed, cordial environment. We ask that you don't wear dungarees, sneakers, t-shirts, sweatshirts, especially the kind with hoods. No open-toed shoes, but it's perfectly fine to wear trousers if you're a woman. And no need to wear stockings in the summer. Bare legs are perfectly fine. And if Jerry calls, you just say, yes, Jerry. I will let my boss know.
Jerry Salinger.
Well, of course, Jerry Salinger. And above all, you never, ever call him.
Why would I call Jerry Salinger?
Jerry doesn't want to hear about how much you love The Catcher in the Rye, and he doesn't want to read your stories.
I don't have stories.
Good. Writers make the worst assistants. Get to work.
Joanna's eyes widen. She leans over and fumbles with the typewriter. She presses a key. She puts a microtape into the dictaphone. A man in an orange turtleneck approaches her desk. He holds a stack of papers. She removes her headphones.
I'm Hugh. You must be Joanna.
Yes, hi. Nice to meet you.
If you need anything, I'm right here. I take care of contracts, legal, copyrights, the fun stuff.
She smiles.
Salinger's letters, fan mail. You need to answer them using these. There's one for each type of inquiry, adaptation, autobiography, autograph, photograph, interview, celebrity auction.
Mr. Salinger does not wish to receive mail from his readers, thus we cannot pass your kind note on to him. 1963?
That's the year he stopped responding himself. You need to type the new one based exactly on this, verbatim, no change.
So Salinger doesn't get any of his mail?
Not one. You shred them. In the shredder.
You should always read them.
Yes, indeed.
Just in case.
Just in case.
In case of what?
We've been extra careful since the Mark David Chapman thing.
John Lennon's assassin. When the police arrived at the Dakota, they found Chapman calmly sitting on a sidewalk reading Catcher in the Rye. At his trial, Chapman said that the big part of him was Holden Caulfield.
And the small part of him was the devil.
Joanna's eyes shift between the two.
Did Chapman write to Salinger?
We'll never know since we throw away the mail.
Read everything thoroughly. Use your judgment.
Joanna creases her brow. She shuffles through the letters. Joanna pulls the green envelope from the drawer. The name reads, Purnell Briault, from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Daytime. The teenager, Purnell, sits in a floating chair in a pool. He holds the Catcher in the Rye.
I think about Holden a lot. When I first think about him, I get a stupid grin on my face, you know? Thinking about what a funny guy he is and all. But then I usually get depressed as hell. Because I only think about Holden when I'm feeling very emotional, and I can get quite emotional.
I can get quite emotional. This boy is so earnest.
A major loser is what he is.
Hey, he is not.
He is.
He's very sweet. He's a little funny, but he's sweet. And he cares so much. I can't send him a letter that says, Dear kid, Mr. Salinger has no interest in you, so please fuck off.
Look, this one is from the Netherlands. Me and my wife trace Holden's steps around New York. Did you know that the ducks in Central Park stay through winter? Oh my God, these literally a bunch of obsessive freaks.
I haven't read Catcher in the Rye.
You're kidding.
I haven't read any Salinger.
Wow. Everybody's read Catcher at the very least.
Yeah, well, at the risk of disappointing you, there are actually a few writers that I've yet to read.
Well, I'm shocked. Hey, look, this girl is ready to go to bed with him.
He's 70-something.
Don't be naive. Good literature is a powerful aphrodisiac.
Don kisses Joanna.
I never had that teenage Salinger moment. We never read Catcher in the Rye at school, and later I was interested in difficult, gritty fiction.
Hey, hon.
Jenny's not here right now.
I'll be in the kitchen.
I imagine Salinger's books to be insufferably cute, quirky, and precious. I didn't want to be entertained. I wanted to be provoked.
In bed, Don and Joanna kiss. On a water taxi. Inside, Joanna sits by a window. She reads a letter. She smiles. In the agency building lobby, Joanna walks past a stained glass window. She walks to the elevator bank.
I found a writer from Max out of the slush pile. The stories are so good. I read them last night, and I was sobbing by the end.
Two women enter the elevator. A man gestures for Joanna to proceed. Inside.
What's the slush pile?
The slush pile? Okay, it's like the most amazing and most horrible part of our job. The stack of manuscripts nobody wants to read. Basically, it's all the unsolicited query letters. People with no referral who write to agents cold.
The slush pile is like 99% crazy shit, though some of it is seriously hilarious.
But very, very occasionally you find something amazing.
Your boss doesn't let you read?
I'm available to read manuscripts, should that be something that you're interested in at home on my free time, of course.
Manuscripts? No.
tabs wrong, margins wrong, proper names wrong, really everything wrong. You can start retyping today. And here, as a bonus, is today's dictation. Forget about manuscripts. You need to get that right.
Margaret picks up a newspaper. Everyone in the office gathers around Margaret and a computer.
Is it on?
No.
As you know, I believe that computers make work rather than alleviate it. But I agreed to install one in the office on a trial basis because...
It came in an elegant black.
Because Hugh discovered that people, I don't know who these people are, why they don't have more important things to do with their lives, but people have been publishing whole Salinger stories on their personal e-webs.
Weblogs.
Weblogs, ridiculous. This is blatant copyright infringement, and we are going to have to scour the World Wide Web to put an end to it. And that is all the computer is to be used for.
Interrupt. Just passing through. Don't mean to cause a fuss.
Daniel lingers. He looks at the computer and smirks.
We can turn it off now.
It's already off.
Okay, good. And then maybe the little coat that goes over it. I've seen it in pictures. Thank you, Max.
I'm afraid we don't have a coat.
There were hundreds of us. Thousands, maybe. All girls, working at literary agencies or publishing houses. We answered calls for our bosses, ushered in the writers, fetched them water, never belying the fact that we wanted to be writers ourselves. We whispered about the lucky ones, the ones who were mentored by their bosses, who were allowed to take on books or clients, the ones who broke the rules to show initiative. The ones who wanted it badly enough.
Joanna looks up. She closes her eyes.
Let's face it, I was a secretary.
She pulls out a letter. She rests her chin on her hand. She reads. She smiles slightly. A light illuminates the black and white portrait of Salinger.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Speaking to... It's Jerry.
Hello, Mr. Salinger.
Who is this?
This is Joanna.
Who?
I'm Joanna. I'm Margaret's new assistant.
Oh, Margaret's new assistant. Nice to meet you, Susanna. How do you like your job?
I love it.
Good to hear. I'm calling to speak to your boss.
Unfortunately, she's not in right now. Can I leave her a message?
Oh, no, I'll call back. Well, I'm sure you have a lot of work. It was very nice talking to you, Susanna. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person.
You too. Have a great day.
Goodbye.
I never say have a great day.
Jerry? He's deaf. An explosion during the war. She just left?
Yes.
Better go tell her.
Joanna stands.
Quicker.
Joanna looks over her shoulder at Hugh. She runs out.
Margaret? Sorry. I'm sorry to disturb you. We just got a call from... Your client just called.
I wonder which one.
I have to take this.
Go ahead, Bugs. I'll wait for you at the restaurant.
You did the right thing.
In Margaret's office.
Salinger wants to publish a book.
The press is gonna go nuts.
No press. No one must know. That's our job.
So it's true, he's been writing.
Well, no, it's an old story. Hapworth, publisher, Clifford Bradbury, approached him to publish it as a standalone book. He has been thinking about it for 8 years. The publisher wrote to him back in 88. Jerry liked the fact that he wrote on a typewriter.
How did he get Jerry's address?
He addressed it to J.D. Salinger, Cornish, New Hampshire. Postman delivered it.
That's brilliant.
Wait. Margaret, what kind of publisher is this? It can't be Little Brown or any major house. They would have just called you.
Oh, boy, you're going to love this, Max. It is a tiny press in Virginia, kind of a one-man operation, Mary Gold Press.
Mary Bell's press?
Yes, that's it. You know them.
They publish poetry, and I like a few of their poets.
Are you fucking kidding me? A one-man press is going to publish the first book from Salinger in 3 decades. That's fucked.
Publishing Salinger is different than publishing poetry.
Thank you.
Obviously, we have to proceed carefully, find out everything we can about this Clifford Bradbury.
I'll call him. I won't mention Salinger, and I'll ask for his catalog and a sample for our records.
Good thinking. You get me the contract with the New Yorker, please.
Joanna smiles.
What's Hapsworth?
It was published in the New Yorker in 65. Took up almost the whole magazine. Pretty common in those days. Esquire did it, Cosmo. That's where I got my start, buying stories for a magazine.
For Cosmo?
For Playboy.
How did you end up working for Playboy?
Enough chit-chat, Joanna. Back to work.
Hi, is this Clifford Bradbury? Hi, this is Joanna Rakoff. I work for ANF Literary Management.
The job of an agent is to open up opportunities for their clients. But when it came to Salinger, the logic was reversed. We had to shield him from the outside world, bolstering his reputation as a complicated recluse. But publishing Hapsworth was going to get a lot of attention. Nobody understood his change of heart.
Night, Jerry.
Maybe, I thought, I understood. Maybe he realized that what he wanted wasn't what he wanted at all.
Joanna takes a copy of each of Salinger's books from the shelf. She places them in her purse. In Jenny's apartment, Joanna takes her coat off. In the kitchen, Joanna pours champagne into a glass. She picks up a framed picture of her and Jenny. At a coffee table, Joanna scribbles on paper. Jenny kneels in front of her and smokes.
What are you writing?
Writing a very bad poem.
Listen, Brad and I were talking, and look, when you first got back to New York and I said that you could stay here, to be honest, I thought you'd go back to Berkeley with Carl.
You kicking me out?
No, like, I'm happy to have you here, and you can stay if you want, but what did you plan on doing? What are your options?
An older woman in a fur coat opens a front door to an apartment.
We disinfected the apartment because the man before had 7 cats. But young married couple like you take better care of it, yeah?
We're not married.
The man next door, he takes care of little things if you need. He's Mexican. He drinks, but he works hard.
How much?
560.
We'll think about it.
No, we'll take it.
Oh, good deal. You're Jewish, yeah?
Me? No.
I like a very responsible, pay on time. Let's sign the paper.
Well, Louise is gonna be under her name.
Could have just given ourselves a day to think about it.
No, this is New York City, young lady. The big time.
I barely make $300 a week.
No, wait, we split the rent, Booba. I'm gonna pay my half. I just said to avoid the credit check. Look, I'll take care of the furniture, all right?
There's no sink.
What?
There's no sink in the kitchen. I knew that there was something off about the apartment, but I couldn't put my finger on it, and there's no sink in the kitchen. We just signed a lease for an apartment with no sink.
Well, we can do the dishes in the bathtub. It's no big deal. There's a tub. Trust me.
In the subway, Joanna leans against a pole. She reads a book. She smiles. At the agency, Joanna carries two tall files of letters. She drops them on her desk.
Dear Mr. Salinger, please forgive my bad English. I work much at night and I like it because I don't have to talk to people so much. My heart is trouble, just like holding coffee.
Well, Lin is like my grandfather, you know? A no bullshit man. He taught me a lot about human nature. He warned me I would be disappointed by most people.
We would be very honored if you would serve as our commencement reader next year. We would, of course, provide you with accommodation in a very fine inn, where your privacy, which I know is important to you, would be scrupulously respected.
The fishing helps me, a nice refuge from my nightmares. It's been 27 years since Vietnam. They just keep getting worse. You know, seeing your dead friends, having their guts ripped out. Well, I'm sure you must have similar type dreams being a veteran who
does not wish to receive mail from his readers. Thus, we cannot pass along your kind note to him. We thank you for your interest in Mr. Salinger's book.
My daughter died from leukemia. She was a talented young writer. I'm founding a small literary magazine in her memory, and I'd like permission to call it Banana Fish. As Salinger was her favorite.
Joanna shreds letters. She pulls out a half-shredded letter. She holds it in front of Hugh.
Titles can't be copyrighted.
Absolutely, Jerry.
I could write a novel and call it The Great Gatsby if I wanted to. So, yes, she can call her magazine Banana Fish.
Great.
But the agency can't advise her.
As always.
Really?
Yep. I'm just telling you this for your own edification. Send the form letter and finish shredding.
That's absurd.
You're right.
She's gonna start yelling at me the minute she's off the phone.
Pleasure to talk to you, Jerry, as always.
Goodbye. Crap sandwich.
Hugh?
Yes?
Do you have the Salinger contract ready?
Yes, almost there.
Ask Pam to call a messenger so we can get it over to the New Yorker before 6.
The New Yorker?
Yes.
Probably best if I just bring it myself then, no?
On a crosswalk, Joanna walks. She holds an envelope against her chest.
I grew up reading The New Yorker, following my father's ritual. He would start with the movie reviews, and then turn to the talk of the town, and then the features. In college, everyone was into The New Yorker.
At the New Yorker receptionist desk.
Hi.
My boss wanted me to make sure this was delivered right away.
Thank you. Can I help you with something else?
No. No, that was it. Thanks.
Joanna turns. She gently shakes her head. On the street, she looks up. Daniel waves from a window of a restaurant across the street. Joanna smiles. She crosses the street. In the restaurant.
I was at the Algonquin serving him a martini. Anyway, I used my Cosmo ID to get in the room. I recognized the agent. He did not recognize me. And we spent the evening talking about William's tragic death and the agency.
And
I lost my job at Cosmo for not showing up the next morning. But I kept the man's card. And a year later, I gave him a call at the agency.
Hi.
And he hired me. And the rest is history, Joanna. What is it? Something wrong?
No.
She was walking by. Looking cold and hungry and forlorn, and I invited her in. Joanna, please sit down.
I really don't want to interrupt. But
don't be silly.
This is my wife, Helen.
Nice to meet you.
We were just reminiscing, telling tales about the lost generation. Hemingway, Fitzgerald. You know the agency represented Fitzgerald.
Of course, yes. And Dylan Thomas, Langston Hughes, Agatha Christie.
And you've read all their work, of course.
I have, however, my boss suggests that I read writers that are alive.
Speaking of living writers, are you familiar with Rachel Cusk?
Don't take the bait,
no,
Joanna.
I am. Her first novel, Saving Agnes, was huge. It won the Whitbread, I think, and everyone that I knew in London was reading it. It was our lives, basically. Or it was my life.
What is it about?
Well, it's a coming-of-age tale, definitely. I guess it's about the ways in which women need to get over this self-loathing of their bodies.
I'd say it's more about how the patriarchy imposes rigid and terrifying ideas of femininity onto young women, how that paralyzes them and strips them of their dignity.
I don't know, it doesn't feel quite that didactic to me. It's a very introspective novel. It doesn't really read like social commentary.
Okay, Joanna, meet Rachel Cusk.
No.
Sorry.
It's okay, it's lovely to meet you. You're a novelist yourself?
Joanna is my assistant. I don't hire writers. I'm very particular about it.
Really? I thought all publishing assistants were writing novels at their desks.
You can write a novel at your desk while fetching coffee for a tyrant like Margaret. Good luck.
Well, you really have to love it. You have to want it more than anything in the entire world, more than a boyfriend or a closet full of pretty dresses or a fancy job that makes everyone jealous. You need to be okay with saying no when you're invited to a party. And you really need to be okay with having your mother and father hate you.
Joanna, don't you have some dictation to finish?
Yes, I do.
Margaret?
Those St. Martin's contract memos need to go out immediately.
Absolutely. Okay. It was nice to meet you all. Thank you.
Goodbye, okay. Joanna. Bye. Lovely to meet you.
Margaret looks up at Dan. On a busy sidewalk, Joanna trudges. A passerby bumps into her shoulder. In the subway, Joanna looks down. In Joanna's bed, she reaches for her purse. She pulls out a stack of letters. She shoves them onto a shelf. On her back, she reads a letter. Joanna pops up.
You got a letter. From your high school sweetheart, Carl. Does he know about us?
She turns.
Yeah, I'm sure I mentioned it.
Joanna, did you break up with him? Like a proper breakup? Dear Carl, it's not you, it's me. I'm sorry, it's over. You know the normal stuff.
We haven't talked in 3 months, and he knows that I'm not going back to California. Did you talk to the landlady about the heating?
Why do you need a heater? Your love should keep you warm.
Joanna sits up in bed. She opens an envelope. White letters appear. Dear Joe. She leans her back against the wall. She folds her hands over her stomach.
I was hoping you might find the time to write back, but I bet you must be getting a lot of letters. But I feel like writing again, if you don't mind me doing so, because, well, I feel depressed as hell. And I figure it is the honest thing to do. Your characters are the only ones in literature who are truly like me. I mean, they take action. They don't sit around contemplating suicide. They pick up a gun and they shoot themselves in the head.
He's challenging Jerry. It's a game, and you're falling for it.
I feel this boy just deserves a proper response, not our usual bullshit.
Bullshit? You are confusing judgment with empathy. I have read hundreds of letters just like this one. It can get overwhelming, but just do your job.
Margaret hands the letter to Joanna. Hugh exits. At Joanna's desk, she leans forward. She puts her ear toward the typewriter. She closes her eyes.
Did you send my letter to Mr. Salinger?
Did you send my letter to Salinger?
You have no right to keep my letter!
¿Mandaste mi carta, Salinger?
You can't read other people's mail.
I was at least expecting a confirmation.
Joanna stands in an alcove containing shelves of typewriters. She pauses. She peers out. She grabs a typewriter off of the shelf. In a Dairy Queen, a young woman swirls ice cream onto a cone.
Dear Mr. Salinger, I hate school, especially English class. Catcher in the Rye is the only book I liked. My teacher is going to make me flunk. She says I'll have to repeat my year, and that's gonna be so embarrassing. So I asked her, what can I do? Write a letter to J.D. Salinger, she told me, and make it so good that he'll write back. If he writes back, I'll give you an A. Please write back, so I can get an A.
Joanna sits in front of the typewriter.
An A earned by trickery means absolutely nothing. You'll soon find out that young women are often held to double standards when it comes to success. You need to prove to yourself and to your peers that you do not need special treatment. If you desire an A or a passing grade, you must do the work assigned to you. And if you want to uphold the spirit of Holden, try not to care too much about how people judge you. This might mean being more humble, but it's the only way. Sincerely, Joanna Rakoff.
Don reads a letter as he drinks a beer.
You've become quite the expert in what Salinger would say. If you want to uphold the spirit of Holden, have you read Catcher yet? You haven't. Unbelievable.
Joanna shifts her eyes. Daytime, on a sidewalk, Joanna and Jenny walk.
Brett got accepted at Case Western. Thought he was going to Brooklyn Law. He's from the Midwest. He misses it, you know? So you'll stay here until he's done?
Of course not. I'm going with him. We're engaged, remember?
Hey, you're moving?
I
thought you loved your work.
I do, but Cleveland is a cool city. We're already looking for a place in Shaker Heights.
Wow. Suburbs.
Joanna chews.
Have you been writing lately?
I don't really write anymore. I know we used to say that we wanted to become writers, but that was more your thing. I kind of grew out of it.
You make it sound like a teenage phase.
Isn't that what it was?
I don't understand. You're dropping everything for Brett's project?
Whoa, Joanna, stop. I don't want to be a writer. You keep saying you want to write, but you work long hours for other writers while Don is at home writing his novel.
Oh, you both write, and we're supportive of each other's work.
Well, then I'm happy for you guys. Please be happy for me.
Joanna nods and looks down.
I'm sorry. Why don't we go to the Waldorf and get dessert?
Ha, I'll have the $12 cheesecake.
Maybe we'll catch my boss on her martini lunch or something.
Gotta get back to work.
Jenny picks up her trash. At the Waldorf, Joanna cuts into a tiny cheesecake with raspberries on top.
Everything's your liking?
Joanna takes a bite. She turns to look at a woman in a pale pink blazer. The woman writes in a notebook. A man in a leather jacket sips red wine and reads the New Yorker. In the lobby, Joanna looks at a man holding a young girl's hand. Joanna walks over to a display case. She looks down. A label, J.D. Salinger, The Catcher in the Rye, first edition, 1951. A book rests below it. Joanna heads toward the exit.
May I get you a cab?
Oh, it's such a nice day. I think I'll walk.
It is a beautiful day. You enjoy it now.
Thanks.
Outside a home, a peacock bobs its head.
Hello?
Hello, Susanna. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you? How's the weather in Cornish?
It's very pleasant. Tell me something, Susanna. I was looking at those books from this fellow, Clifford, in Virginia, Mary Bell's Press.
Yes.
What do you think of them?
Honestly, I think the design isn't great. I think they would really benefit from hiring a designer. But as far as the books themselves, I've only read a few. I do like some of the poets they publish, though.
Well, you read poetry?
I do, yes, a lot.
Do you write poetry yourself?
I do.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear that. Poetry is food for the soul. Never forget that.
Susanna.
Food for the soul. I've got it.
Susanna, it's important to write every day. You know that.
I'll keep that in mind.
Jerry wants to meet Clifford.
Gosh. We're to find somewhere discreet.
Well, it won't be. Jerry's driving down to Washington on Wednesday. They're meeting in a cafeteria at Georgetown University.
That's awful, awful. Do we trust this Clifford fellow?
I don't know.
So we're presuming he's not going to tip off the Post that the world's most reclusive writer, who barely leaves his home, who hasn't given an interview in decades, will be having lunch at Georgetown University on Wednesday? You have mentioned this possibility to Jerry.
I have not. Jerry thinks of Clifford as a pal. If I say anything negative about him, Jerry will not take it kindly. That's it. Back to work. Oh, Joanna, tell me what you think of this.
Judy Blume.
You've heard of her?
Of course I have. I read all of her books as a kid. I love her. Everyone loves her.
She was a client of my predecessor, Claire. She's not written a book in a long time.
Have you ever read Judy Blume?
No, I don't read children's literature.
But they're so wonderful.
I'm sure. Claire had impeccable taste.
In the bathroom.
You want to go out?
We're broke.
So? Split a beer. Soap and mic night at the KGB.
What?
Bring a poem. They'll love you.
You're not funny.
Not trying to be. Your poems are good.
I have a Judy Blume manuscript to read.
Judy Blume? Judy fucking Blume? I loved Then Again, Maybe I Won't.
You like Judy Blume?
Yeah. I mean, I was a kid once, and like a hero Tony, my parents were working class and moved to a middle class area. It's about social class.
No, it's not.
It turns you on that I like pedestrian stuff, doesn't it?
Joanna kisses Dawn. Dawn types on his computer naked. In bed, Joanna reads.
To be given Judy Blume's new book was like going from sitting in the stands to hitting a home run. I felt lucky to be on the inside.
At the agency, Joanna approaches Margaret.
Well?
I like it.
Really? But what do you make of it?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, it's not a kid's book, is it?
No, no. It's about kids for grown-ups. It's about female friendship.
But will adults buy a book about kids? Can I sell it?
Lots of books have child protagonists. Oliver Twist.
This is not Oliver Twist. But you would buy it.
I would.
Margaret takes a drag of her cigarette.
Many people would. There's the nostalgia factor. You know, my entire generation grew up on Judy Blume.
Maybe.
Definitely.
All right. You've had your fun.
Margaret turns to look at Joanna. Margaret holds her hand out.
I put new tapes on your desk. Close the door.
Joanna slowly leaves. She creases her brow. Joanna walks quickly through the office.
Judy. Margaret's expecting you.
The receptionist shakes hands with a woman.
Coffee?
Joanna's eyes widen.
That's very exciting. Yes.
What is it?
Judy Blume is here.
Shit. Michael, hold on one second.
That's today? I thought we had more time.
She's going to blow this, isn't she?
I think so. Hey, we've been renovating, moving everything around, which is why your books are down there and out of order.
Don't worry about it.
I'm Joanna. I'm Margaret's new assistant. I'm such a huge fan of yours.
That's very sweet.
Really nice to meet you.
Judy! How lovely to see you. Come into my office.
Joanna runs to her desk. She picks up a notepad.
Way. So.
Margaret shrugs. She shakes her head. Joanna exits. Joanna watches through a window into Margaret's office. Joanna presses her ear against the door. The receptionist, Pam, walks up behind her.
Joanna? Why don't you answer your phone? There's someone at the reception who wants to see you.
Me?
In a school uniform, the girl from Dairy Queen turns around.
Are you Joanna Rakoff?
Yes.
Is that your real name? Because it's so ridiculous, it sounds fake. You have no right to keep my letter from J.D. Salinger.
I'm sorry, who are you?
Because of you, I'm going to fail English.
Is everything all right here?
No. Yes. Yes.
No.
Why don't we go downstairs and get a coffee, okay?
Joanna?
Aren't you supposed to be in school?
Who do you think you are?
It's my job here to answer Jerry's mail.
Oh, it's Jerry to you. Is he your sugar daddy?
No, I've never even met him, okay? Mr. Salinger does not want to receive his mail.
So instead, you lecture me like you're my mother.
You're right, okay? I'm sorry. I apologize. Your letter was different, and I thought you deserved a real response instead of our, I'm sorry, we cannot pass along your kind note bullshit. So I wrote you something more personal.
What makes you think your advice is better than some bullshit response? I'm going to summer school. So thanks a lot, Miss Rakoff.
The girl hands Joanna her letter back. She turns toward the elevator. Joanna crumples the paper in her hand. In Hugh's office, Joanna presses her palms together in front of her lips.
You sent a personal letter to one of the fans and she came storming in here?
Joanna nods.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Do you have any idea how many times when I was answering Salinger's letters, I want to write my own one back?
Really?
Of course. Dear sir, obsess over another writer. I hear Kurt Vonnegut answers his own fan mail. I mean, sometimes you just want to go, hey, loser. and then others, they're so engaging. You just want to champion them, you know?
Yes, yes, exactly.
But you've crossed the line. It's a huge rabbit hole, ethically and legally. I'm taking you off Salinger's mail.
No, no, yes. Hugh, please. I love these letters so much. I promise you this won't happen again. I promise.
Judy? It's all over.
Judy?
She's leaving us.
For whom?
Does it matter?
If I were Judy, I would have left too.
Joanna.
Why? Tell me, I'm curious, why would you leave?
No, I'm really, really sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm just sad to see her leave, that's all.
Well, until you can articulate a reason that will enlighten us, you can go back to typing your dictation and fetch Daniel's prescriptions when you're done.
Close the door.
Joanna blinks. Nighttime, outside a bar, Joanna smokes a cigarette. Smoke blows from her nose. Inside the bar, Joanna sits beside Don.
Okay, you think that when a man falls in love, he doesn't look at another woman?
Hmm?
But I have news for you. Every man in this world is looking at every woman in this world and deciding whether or not
he wants to fuck her.
She's sexy, right?
Don, I think you might be in a hole. You might want to stop digging.
You think women don't look at other men? We do. We even look at other women. We just don't drool while we do it.
Mark, Lisa, and Jenny laugh.
Booba. Booba. I drool exclusively for you. Mm.
Hey, white wine?
No, thanks. I'm gonna go. Oh, I know. I actually came to give you this.
What's this?
It's from Carl. He's coming to Washington for a concert. He really wants you to go.
You've been in touch with Carl?
He wrote you a letter, but you never answered.
Joanna opens Carl's envelope.
Wednesday in D.C.
Yeah.
At the agency.
What is it?
Someone should go to the meeting in Washington with Clifford Bradbury. Make sure that he's prepared and walk him to the agency's protocol.
He did sound jittery on the phone. I can't leave New York, but I suppose I could send...
Me.
You.
And me.
Why?
Take notes and assist Clifford. Just let me do this for the agency.
Margaret puts her glasses on her head.
You are to go to Washington, be the agency's eyes and ears, find out who this Clifford person is. You are to meet with him beforehand and debrief him afterward, but you are not to meet with Jerry. Jerry must think they are meeting on their own. Understood?
You will not regret this.
We'll see about that.
Margaret walks into her office. Daytime. Joanna walks out of her apartment through an alley.
I've got a gift for you.
My birthday was 2 months ago.
Oh, birthdays are for Hallmark. It's my novel.
You finished it?
What, don't you want to read it?
Of course I do. Thanks.
She runs off with the envelope.
Congrats.
On a bus, Joanna sits beside a window. She writes on a notepad. She crosses out a sentence. She puts the cap on her pen. She grabs Don's envelope out of her bag. She looks at it. The title, Fellow Traveler by Don McNally. She smiles. It's healing by is it by inside. On the lawn at Georgetown University, Joanna walks up to Clifford.
Mr. Bradbury?
Yes, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
And you. I've widened the spine, see, to give the book some length because it's too thin.
Mm.
I also retyped it all from the New Yorker. I didn't scan it. And good thing, too, because there were a few small typos.
The New Yorker doesn't make typos.
Oh, yes. Small ones, but typos still. Salinger is such a stickler for details. I made 2 mock-ups.
Wow.
Do you think I should have made more?
No.
Oh, I think I should have made more, yeah.
Mr. Bradbury, it's going to go very well. Just forget everything that you've heard about Mr. Salinger. I think that you'll find that he's very straightforward. It's important that you just be yourself.
Inside a cafeteria, Joanna looks over her shoulder as she walks through it. She sits on a ledge near a window. She opens the envelope. She pulls out Don's manuscript. She looks up. Salinger leads Clifford through the cafeteria. Clifford pulls out a chair opposite Salinger. He scoots his chair in. Joanna peers over. She smiles. Joanna marks Don's manuscript in red ink. She writes, masturbating. She crosses out a paragraph. She circles a line. You can rip my panties off. She creases her brow. She looks up. Their table is empty. She runs outside. Salinger strides away across the lawn, his back to Clifford. Joanna runs down the front steps.
What happened?
Clifford watches Salinger with a smile on his face.
Jerry Salinger paid for my lunch.
But how did it go?
We agreed on everything.
That's great. I guess I just missed him then, huh?
Except the typos.
What do you mean?
He did not want me to correct them. Yeah, he seemed peeved that I'd fixed them. You know, I thought at one point he'd say, let's just forget the whole thing, you know?
Did he say why?
He wants it printed exactly as it ran in the New Yorker, as if the typos were actually intentional. It makes no sense.
Hey, don't fix any more typos. Don't tell anybody about the book. No interviews. That would ruin the whole deal.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Great work, Mr. Bradbury. My boss is going to be very pleased, okay? Bye.
He nods and smiles. Joanna runs off. Joanna walks inside a concert hall. A man arranges chairs. Joanna looks up. She walks upstairs in front of a stained glass window. She stops. A man with curly black hair and a close-cropped beard plays his clarinet on the other side of the room. She slowly walks toward him. She leans on the banister.
Joe!
Hi.
You got my invitation.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here. You look great.
So do you.
They hug.
I'm glad you're here, Joe. I've been wanting to apologize.
What?
I was angry when I sent you the letter. I wrote stuff I didn't mean.
No, don't apologize. You should be angry. I'm angry at you for not being angry at me.
Well, I'm not angry, and that's absurd, by the way. You hurt me, and I needed to unleash. I deserved a proper breakup, you know? Carl, I'm leaving you. You know, the usual stuff.
Yeah. The usual stuff.
Mm-hmm. The apartment felt depressing when you left.
I didn't read your letter.
Why?
No, I we couldn't make it past Joe. Nobody else calls me Joe, so.
I want you back in my life. You know, even if it's just a phone call every once in a while, you were my best friend. I miss you, Joe.
Joanna smiles slightly. On stage, Carl rehearses with an accompanist. Carl looks out at Joanna alone in the audience. She smiles. Tears fill her eyes. Her smile fades.
I miss you too.
Colorful blurs of light flicker. On a bus, people from the letters fill the seats. A woman in a cap holds a cage on her lap. A veteran in a bucket hat sleeps in a seat in front of the woman. Joanna reads.
I've learned that, as phony as it may be, you can't go around revealing your goddamn emotions to the world. Most people don't give a flying hoot about, like, what you think and feel most of the time, I guess. And if they see a weakness, I mean, why for God's sake is showing emotion a weakness? Boy, do they jump all over you, right? They seem to get right in your goddamn face and revel in the fact that you are actually feeling something.
Purnell faces Joanna.
Is it good?
What?
The manuscript, is it good?
It's interesting.
But you hate it?
I don't hate it. Or maybe I do hate it. And that's why it's good. It's weirdly addictive.
But?
I don't want to read about his sex life.
No one wants to read about his sex life.
Maybe I'm just annoyed by his nonchalance.
Or because...
he's writing and I'm not.
Joanna looks down. Daytime. A montage. The Empire State Building. A row of skyscrapers. Three large trees surrounded by buildings. At the agency, Joanna walks toward her desk. She peers into Margaret's office. The staff gathers in Hugh's office. They watch Hugh on a phone call.
I understand.
What's going on?
Well, keep us posted, and thank you.
Hugh covers his face with his hands.
Apparently he shot himself.
Wait, who shot himself?
Daniel, Joanna. Daniel committed suicide.
The Daniel?
In the living room, while Margaret was in the bedroom.
This can't be right. Daniel is a beautiful man. He's sweet and he's kind. This can't be happening.
Pam leaves.
But he looked fine.
He was bipolar. Margaret took care of him all these years.
He was her brother?
Lover. For 20 years.
Wait, are we talking about the same Daniel?
Daniel was married to Helen, whom you've met. He lived half the week with Helen and the other half with Margaret. They shared his care.
They shared him.
Margaret shared a man with another woman?
Joanna, if anyone calls, tell them she's working from home and take a message. And no mention of this.
What about if it's Jerry?
Especially if it's Jerry.
Joanna scrunches her face. She looks at Hugh and Max. She leaves. At Joanna's desk, she plays with rubber bands in between her fingers. She looks over at an assistant shredding papers. The assistant smiles.
Some other time. Fine.
The assistant drops the pile of papers. She raises her hands and walks off.
Thanks.
Joanna watches the assistant leave. She grabs the pile of papers. She puts them into her bag. At night, in Joanna's apartment, she sits in front of the typewriter.
Margaret's office. Joanna speaking.
Hi, Joanna. It's Jerry. How are you?
Hi. I'm well. How are you?
How is the weather down there?
Muggy.
Is your boss around?
No, I'm afraid she's out.
She's been out a lot lately.
Yeah, she's very busy. Lots of meetings. Is there anything I can help you with?
Let me ask you something. This Clifford Bradbury fellow.
Sure.
What do you make of him?
I like him.
Sometimes I think he can overthink things, but he just doesn't want to let you down.
Have you been writing every day?
A lot of days. They've given me more responsibility around here, so
I've been reading manuscripts.
You're a writer, Joanna, aren't you? Not an agent, not a secretary.
I don't know.
Sorry, I missed that. I'm a little deaf.
Yes, yes. I'm a writer.
So write.
Even if it's just 15 minutes in the morning, protect that sanctuary, okay?
Don't get stuck answering the phone, Joanna. You're a poet.
Joanna smiles. Nighttime. Hand in hand, Joanna and Don walk into a parking garage full of people. On a rooftop, they walk to a ledge. They peer over. She kisses him. A sign, New York Independent Publishers Annual Party. Mark hugs Don. Joanna walks over to two men talking at a table.
What's it like working for the New Yorker?
Well, why don't you come by the office one day? We'll show you around.
I would like that very much.
Do you write yourself?
It's
okay. You won't tell your boss.
I published two poems in the Paris Review, and I'm working on some new material.
Well, we'd be happy to take a look at your material when you feel it's ready.
That would be great. That would be really great, yeah.
Well, let's cheers to that.
Okay.
She smiles.
The satirical stuff I like. I know, but the New Yorker's fiction is a joke. And that soppy talk of the town thing.
Dawn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know you love that shit, that...
Oh, let's all go meet up at the Algonquin. I do so wish you could join us. Bullshit.
Joanna walks over to the table.
So when's the wedding?
John's mouth opens.
It's Columbus Day weekend, right? Or am I making that up?
It's next weekend, Don.
Joanna, you're coming, right? Yeah. Excited.
You're an asshole. You know that, right?
Outside her apartment, Joanna smokes.
I knew that if I told you about it, you'd start planning, like, let's rent a car, let's stay in this B&B, what am I gonna wear? And then you'd buy that dress, and you'd make all these plans, and then you'd flip out at me when I told you that I wanted to go along.
You want to go to your best friend's wedding alone?
Hey, listen, I don't need to justify myself to you, all right?
Really?
Really, Booba? All my bros from Hartford are gonna be there. It's gonna be the end of an era, and I don't wanna have to worry about whether you're having fun or not.
She nods. She rolls her eyes.
Right. Maybe you'll meet some hot blonde that wants you to rip her panties off and fuck her up the ass and write an unreadable story about her.
What? Wow, where is this coming from? Where is the sweet, naive girl I met last Christmas? Because you know what? I'd like her back, please, Booba.
Stop calling me Booba, okay? I'm not a child.
I call you Booba because I love you. It's what my grandmother calls my mom.
You love me.
Of course. I mean, would I be here if I didn't? I told you, I've never lived with a girl before. You changed me.
You love me. But you don't want me to go to Mark's wedding?
Correct.
She turns away, shaking her head. She walks outside. She sits on the chair.
Look, I am older than you. I try not to remind you of this, but it is true. All right? And one day when you are my age, you will realize that two people can love each other and not agree on everything. And not have to do everything together.
Joanna's eyes widen. She crosses her arms. Her face falls. Morning, Joanna reads. Don packs.
You think I should pack a tie? Uba, you're good with this kind of thing. Like, I don't have a suit, so you think just a shirt and a tie?
Purnell appears.
You're depressed. I swear, I mean, I recognize the symptoms. I get like that when I'm emotional. Well, I can get quite emotional.
I'm not depressed. I'm a very happy person.
What?
Nothing.
You gonna give me a kiss goodbye?
Joanna buttons her shirt. Don leaves.
Bye, Joanna.
She opens the door. She watches him leave from the front door window. Purnell watches from the other window beside her. She waves. She looks at Purnell. At Joanna's desk.
I think about Holden a lot. When I first think about him, I get a stupid grin on my face. You know, thinking about what a funny guy he is and all. But then I usually get depressed as hell. Because I only think about Holden when I'm feeling very emotional. I can get quiet emotional.
Joanna reads the letter. It reads, I can get quiet emotional.
That's what I have become. Quiet emotional.
In Margaret's office, Joanna sips a glass of whiskey. She looks out the window. Joanna paces, speaking into Margaret's dictaphone.
Dear boy from Winston-Salem, my most profound apologies for taking so long to reply. I've been thinking about your letters for months. I suppose that I too can get quite emotional about things sometimes. But you're right. You can't go around revealing your goddamn emotions to the world. But if you can't reveal your emotions to the world, then what are you supposed to do with them? How do you go on? Because I feel like crying all the time.
Joanna grabs her purse off the coat rack. She drapes it over her shoulder. She pauses. She looks at a black and white framed portrait. The plaque reads, Purnell Briault. He holds a cigarette. Joanna heads up a staircase with a big bouquet of pastel-colored flowers.
Joanna? What is it? Has something happened at the agency?
No. Everything's fine. I brought you these. And some soup from Manja. I know you like their mushroom barley.
That's very thoughtful. You do pay attention, don't you?
In Margaret's living room, Joanna sits on her couch. Margaret carries in a tray with a pot of tea and two cups.
You did a fine job on those contracts. Those electronic clauses. They'll be the death of publishing. On the other hand, engaging with Jerry's fans was irresponsible, immature, and dangerous.
You know about that?
I have fired assistants for less.
Why didn't you fire me?
Because it's highly unlikely you will make the same mistake twice. Also, Jerry likes you. I am reluctant to alter his routine.
I don't want to be a routine.
I have a couple of stories from long-term clients. Read them and figure out which magazines they'd be right for and send them out.
What if I don't like them?
Then it's your job to figure out who will.
Right. Thank you. Better get back to the office.
Why do you think Judy Blume left?
I'm sorry that I said that.
No, please. I would like to know what you think.
Joanna slides her purse off of her shoulder. She sits on the sofa. She sets the papers to the side.
When you met with Judy, do you discuss her writing?
The quality of her writing was never an issue.
Maybe she wasn't looking for the perfect sales pitch. Maybe she just wanted to hear what you thought about the story, what it meant to you, or if you love books the same way that she loves them.
I'm not sure my love of books was relevant to that discussion.
Maybe it was relevant to her. I know it would be to me.
You know, I sold my first book when I was in my 20s. It was about this young woman journalist in the Spanish Civil War, and it was actually written by a man. And yet he seemed to understand intimately what it would be like for her as a woman. Anyway, I sold the book. And then my boss said that I should represent the author. And naturally I said yes. And then, like, right away, I started to get nervous, almost panicky. And what if the author disappointed me as a person? And what if I liked the writing but not him? You know, it was about 3 weeks later we met for lunch at Elaine's, and at 9 p.m. we were still there. You know, just laughing and talking and sharing our aspirations and our love of music, our love of books.
Daniel.
Yeah. Daniel.
Tears fill Joanna's eyes. She walks out the front door. Margaret follows her out.
My condolences, Margaret.
I'll pull my socks up.
Joanna hugs Margaret.
Oh?
They embrace. Margaret closes her eyes. Joanna rushes downstairs. Joanna walks through a small square. Flashback. Daniel waves from the window of the restaurant. Salinger walks away across the lawn.
For months, I had been touched by anonymous fans. Touched by their desire to connect with Salinger.
Joanna reads Catcher in the Rye.
Their letters had changed me. The time had come to see for myself what had moved them.
At night, outside her apartment, Joanna reads 9 stories. In a cafe, she reads Franny and Zoe.
Salinger's nothing like I thought. Nothing. He's brutal, brutal and funny, and I love it. I love Franny the most. There's that moment when the guy in Princeton is waiting for Franny at the train station, and he has the letter in his pocket, Franny's letter, and he's read it 1,000 times. He knows it by heart, but when she gets off the train and asks, "Did you get my letter?" And he says,
"Which letter?"
At the Waldorf, Carl takes Joanna by the hand. She spins around him. He lifts her. They dance in the middle of the hotel lobby in between other dancing couples. The pairs all waltz in unison. She smiles. He spins her. She spins solo across the lobby among the other dancers. He catches her. He embraces her. He dips her. Their noses touch. He lifts Joanna. She raises her arms. She arches her back and leans backward. He lowers her. The other dancers leave. Carl takes her hand. He slides the palm of his hand along her back. He smiles. He walks out. Joanna watches everyone leave. In Joanna's kitchen, she rests her chin on her hands.
Hey, Booba. I thought you'd be at work.
I took the morning off.
Yeah, I missed you, Booba. Going somewhere?
I'm leaving you, Don.
I get it. This is about the wedding.
Something hit me while you were gone.
Why are you making a thing out of this?
Listen to me. Something hit me while you were gone.
But they never really engaged.
I didn't miss you.
What?
I didn't think about you. Not for 1 second.
Okay, so you needed some time on your own. I get that.
You can keep the apartment, all right? You need it more than I do.
So you're gonna give me the sorry it's not you, it's me bullshit?
I should have broke up with you before. I'm not in love with you. I'm sorry.
Joanna strides away. She wheels her large suitcase behind her. She crosses the street. A Joanna wearing work clothes passes her. Where you wanna go? She looks back at the version of herself. Who you wanna be? How are you gonna get there soon if it don't come naturally? If it's not now, when's the time? It's only so long. In Jenny's apartment, Joanna and a few others carry out furniture. Jenny sits on a table looking out the window. She plays with her wedding ring. Joanna walks up beside her. She hugs her from behind. Jenny grabs a plant and Brett grabs a pillow from Joanna. Jenny hugs Joanna. Joanna sits on the balcony ledge smoking. Joanna hops off the ledge. Doesn't take much to adjust to another holding up. She takes a drag. She heads inside. At the agency, a row of Agatha Christie books line the shelf. A desk lamp. A typewriter. Hugh's empty office is covered in papers. Two assistants sit at their desks opposite each other, typing. The computer in between them has a sign attached to the monitor. No loitering. Joanna stands opposite Margaret, who sits behind her desk. Margaret takes her glasses off. She smiles.
I knew you could do it. I knew it. Come with me. You! Stop doing what you're doing. Max, we're coming into your sanctum. I have an announcement to make.
What is it?
Joanna has sold a story I gave her this summer.
Congratulations.
Oh, not surprised. Good job.
You're on your way.
Of course she is. I knew the moment you walked through the door that you were agency material. Now you can start to build your very own client list. A most exciting feeling for an agent. Isn't that right, Max?
For once, I have to agree with Margaret, yes.
We will celebrate at lunch.
Hope you like martinis.
Oh, she'll learn to like them.
Joanna leans against the stained glass wall by the elevators. She holds one of her wrists in the palm of her hand. She looks ahead. Joanna walks into Margaret's office. Margaret shuffles through manuscripts. Margaret looks up.
You know, we have some authors who would prefer to be with you, I think, than an old fogey like me. Some people I think you'll like. What is it?
I'm so grateful. I'm so, so grateful.
You're leaving.
I was planning on talking to you sometime this week.
But you're doing so well. I mean, you have it in you to become a really fine agent. You have good instincts, a good heart.
Thank you. Thank you, Margaret. My mind's made up. Of course, I'll stay until you can find a replacement.
You have other aspirations.
I do. We just never really talked about anything other than the agency's business.
It's very true.
Margaret turns. She looks out the window.
But I like working with you. I like working here. I really, really do. There's just other things I want to do, and I'm afraid that if I don't do them now, I never will.
Margaret nods. She spins. She smiles. They lock eyes.
I understand.
On a water taxi, Joanna stands at the railing. She closes her eyes. At a desk, Joanna types on a computer. In the subway, she waits for a train. At a park, Joanna sits at a small table, eating. She trots down steps. She crosses a street. In an elevator, she holds a folder with a label. Collection of Poetry by Joanna Rakoff. Joanna walks through glass doors. In the New Yorker office, she approaches the reception desk.
Hi. Kevin told me to drop this by at my convenience.
Would you like to give it to him yourself?
I think he's in. That would be lovely.
The receptionist picks up the phone. Joanna turns away. At the agency.
Oh, hey there. Guess who's visiting?
Max raises his eyebrows. Joanna slightly nods. Joanna walks through the agency. She stops by the coat rack. She smiles at a long black overcoat. She sits at her desk. She looks at letters from Purnell. Joanna's brow creases as she looks at the phone.
Hello?
Listen, I'm thinking, if I was the guy who put myself on a paper and it came out as Catcher in the Rye, I'd get a bang out of the bastard writing me a letter pretending to be able to do the same. Follow me?
Joanna smiles. She stands with the letters in her hand. She walks to the coat. She places the letters in the pocket. She smiles. She sits at her desk. Hugh locks eyes with her. He smirks. He turns back into his office. Joanna smiles. Joanna stands.
Oh, Jerry, may I introduce you to...
Joanna, so good to finally meet you.
Joanna smiles wide. Audio description written by Noel Urbano. Narrated by Chris Snyder. Described by AudioEyes. Credits scroll. Margaret Qualley. Sigourney Weaver. Douglas Booth. Shauna Kerslake. Theodore Pellerin. Yannick Truesdale. Hamza Hawk, Ellen David, Lenny Parker, Romaine Dennis, Tim Post, Gavin Drea, Matt Holland, with Calm Fiore, and Brian F. O'Byrne. My Salinger Year, written and directed by Philippe Filardot. Based on the book My Salinger Year by Joanna Rakoff. Produced by Luke Derry, Kim McGraw. Co-produced by Ruth Cody, Susan Mullen. Executive producers, Philippe Filardot, Joanna Rakoff, Mary Jane Skalski, Hussein Amarshi, Emily George, Naima Abed. Executive producer for Fis Erin, Screen Ireland, Celine Haddad. Director of photography, Sarah Mishara. Editor, Mary Finley. Sound, Claude LaHaye. Sound designer, Fionnan Higgins. Casting, Billy Hopkins and Ashley Ingram. Casting directors, Rosina Bucci, Nadia Rona. Credits continue. Thank you. 92322437, Quebec Incorporated. Parallel Films. Salinger DAC. Copyright 2020. All rights reserved.